himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. She was growing into a teenager and was living then in the obscure village of Nazareth in Galilee. She gathered the grain during the day and tended the lamp late into the watches of the night. Her father knew the dedication of her work, her mother the kindness of her heart, her friends the curve of her smile. She stood on the threshold of womanhood. Among all the girls in the village, she had been noticed, chosen, betrothed, a child bride before whom lay only possibility. Her father could walk with pride in the city gates. Her mother could rest in the comfort of her daughter's future security. But then he came, unexpected, unannounced, spoke openly and without shame of pregnancy, virginity, and a son. Things men never discussed, and women only whispered about behind closed doors. She questioned him about the particulars, but not about the promise. She knew the prophecies, and the angel's words rang true. She would be scorned and rejected, labeled an adulteress in whispers and glances. There would be no more carefree walks to the market, no more happy trips to the well. 400 years her people had waited for hope, but God had been silent. Now he had spoken. The wait was about to end. 40 weeks. And then, Emmanuel, God with us.
Last week, I was talking about how God had spoken to his people. Looks funny all the way down there. How God had spoken to his people throughout all history. And the title of the sermon, the title of the message was, Can You Hear Me Now? And you may remember some of that and going through that and how God has spoken. He spoke things into existence. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, had a relationship with them where he was talking with them. And it was because of their sin, because of wanting to eat from the tree, that they hid from God. And that relationship was strained and that communication was kind of put off. Then, OCD. Then, as Moses was taking the people out of Egypt and they were going through, they said, we can't go into God's presence. We need you to do that for us. And then God had to speak to his people through the prophets. And when we got into how God spoke to Moses and Abraham and Elijah and then to Gideon. And then as I was talking about that before we jumped to the New Testament, I said, and there was one period of time where God was silent. And you might remember that. That was 400 years from Malachi to Matthew. And last week I said we would pick that up today. And that's roughly where we are going to go. That is what we are going to do. But before we do, I want to pray right now. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, to worship you. Father, calm my heart. Calm my spirit. I know you have a message for us today. When we walk through those doors, you had a special message for us. I ask you to speak. Father, I step out of the way, put myself aside. Speak. Yahweh. 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 Amen. Colin, go ahead and put the first slide up there. My sermon today, it's in there. And that wasn't quite it, but that was close. is. Okay, can you hit it one more time? Let's see. There it is. No sound though. Is anticipation is making me wait. And that's what I want to talk to you about. It's 400 years. The prophets had talked about the coming of the Messiah. The prophets had talked about this one who was going to come and save all of God's people. And they spoke and spoke about it and prophesied about it and told all the people about it. And then God went silent. 400 years. God didn't say anything. The people were just so eager to have God come and rescue them. Anticipation. Some of you, as you see that, you probably think of the song. There is a song out on it. Anybody know who sung it? Carly Simon. It was a Heinz ketchup commercial. You know, anticipation. You know, pouring the ketchup is making me wait. Anticipating. Expecting something great to happen. Just waiting for that ketchup to drip out of the bottle so you can have some ketchup with your french fries. That was where the song is probably the most famous and stuff. That's what I want to talk about today is maybe you may have gotten it through the songs and through the other things going on. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And today, the whole theme of today is hope. There is hope. And God's people, in the 400 years, God was silent. Now, there are some people who will dispute that and say, well, no, he really, really wasn't. You know, he was talking in other areas. He was doing other things. Some Bibles, if you look at them, they have the Apocrypha. You might have heard about them. They are books that were written, and they were actually written through that time frame. When they decided to print the Bible or to decide what was in the Bible, they had specific criteria for what would make it. And those books did not make it. Some of the things, they had to be written in Hebrew. They were all written in Greek because of the time period. The writer had to say this was the inspired word. You know, something in there said they did not do that in the Apocrypha. There are a few books that make up the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha would kind of come in that time frame. But it is not generally recognized as being ordained scripture or scripture. But it is great history. And as you, if you read through those, it will tell you kind of what the people were going through and some of the things. That 400-year period can be broken down into six different periods, six different time frames. They are, and I'm going to have to find them, the Persian, the Greek, Egyptian, Syrian, Maccabean, and Roman. And they are broken in those six periods because the Jewish people, they were occupied and they were kind of controlled by those six different group of people. That's why it's broken into six periods there. The people, for the most part, the people who ruled over them, the people who had control over them, were, for the most part, okay with them, you know, didn't treat them really, really bad. If you know much about it, where Israel is, where it's all located, is kind of the convergence of three continents, where kind of three continents come together. And that's what makes it so important, because everybody wants to be able to travel through that and control that part. And so it has been one of those things that over time, they've always fought for that one. Whoever controls that area kind of controls the place around them. So that is why that land is so valuable. That is why they always seem to be occupied. They always seem to have people wanting to control that area. There have been other things that have gone on, but one of them was really bad during the Maccabean period. It got so bad that there was actually a revolt. God's people said, we've had enough of this. We don't want to do this anymore. And they kind of got into guerrilla warfare, and they had a revolt, and the people who were ruling them at the time quickly squashed it and subdued them. And as long as God's people were willing to play by the rules of whoever it was that was controlling them, they could kind of live in peace. That would mean that if we were ruling them and we said, well, you have to do your temple a certain way, as long as they did it, it was okay. And so through this 400-year time frame, some of the things that the prophets had told them, some of the things that they were supposed to do within the in the temple had kind of got diluted, had kind of gotten changed around. There was one group of, while they were being occupied, one group that actually said, we're going to do our own sacrifices in your temple, and they actually sacrificed pigs. Yeah, some of you go, ooh, if you know much about them, pigs were really forbidden. And so they actually desecrated the temple and the synagogue by sacrificing pigs. But as long as God's people were quiet, and as long as God's people would kind of put up with it, then they could live in peace. This is kind of where the people were. For 400 years, they were having to put up with this. And each time it got a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. Finally, they're under Roman rule. Okay, this is where they're at. This is where we find God's people. God has not spoken to them for 400 years. God has not really said anything. He has not said much to them for 400 years. They've been getting ruled by these people. Some things have changed. They have the scribes, the Pharisees. They have the Sadducees. These are groups that have been established by ruling parties that kind of rule over them and say, okay, you're not doing it on your own. We're going to put our own Pharisees in there who are going to help you out. We're going to establish different things. And so what God had established for them in the Old Testament said, this is how you're going to do worship. That was not necessarily the way it was done. 400 years, they had not necessarily heard from God. They had kind of forgotten what the prophets had said and what all these other people were saying, speak more loudly to them. And as long as they want to live in peace, then they follow that. That's kind of where we pick up. God has not spoken. Open your Bibles. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. We have two texts this morning. This will be the first one. The other one we'll pick up a little bit later on. Isaiah chapter 64. We will start at the very beginning of the chapter. We're picking up a prayer. Isaiah is saying a prayer for the people, and we're picking the prayer up in the middle. It actually starts in part of 63, and we're going to pick up the prayer in the middle. And listen to this prayer. This is the Jewish people pouring their heart out. This is the Jewish people, Isaiah speaking for them. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways, but when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. When he starts at the beginning of that, oh, that you would rend the heavens open and that you would come down. Just imagine where they're at. They've done this and going on. Have you ever thought that, God, just come down right now. Just come and take us away. You know the end is coming. That's what this text deals with, is the end is on its way. The end of the world is coming. That's a strange place to go in Advent, isn't it? But it is. That's what this is talking about, the end. The second coming of Christ. That's hope. That's what all this is about. But how would our media portray the end of the world? If the end were to come, what would they say about it? We have some stuff. This is about the only part of that we've got up there for PowerPoint for you for today. How would our media do it? Colin, go ahead. USA Today. What would USA Today say about the end of the world? Pull the plug out and it'll type for you. USA Today would say, we're dead. Okay? Next one. Wall Street Journal. Dow Jones plummets as world ends. Okay, how about the National Enquirer? OJ and Nicole together again. Okay, how about Inc. Magazine? Ten ways you can profit from the apocalypse. How about Rolling Stone? Some of you maybe like Rolling Stone. Vibe? Some of you younger ones, Vibe Magazine? How about Vibe? It's been real. Okay? Anybody here really into sports? How about Sports Illustrated? What would Sports Illustrated do? Game over. That's it. How about Ladies Home Journal? Anybody read Ladies Home Journal? See what Ladies Home Journal? The new Armageddon diet. Okay. TV Guide. Here we go. How about TV Guide? The Nielsen ratings, they soar. Okay. Discover Magazine, for those of you who really like science and stuff, Discover Magazine. They're really wordy here. What does it say? Let's see. How will the extinction of all life as we know it affect the way we view the cosmos? Okay. For those of you who are really, really into computers and stuff like that, how about Microsoft's website, the end of the world? Here's what they would do. All right, make sure you download the patch, okay? America Online, those of you who have America Online or anything, you might have been here before. Call back in 15 minutes, try us again. Okay, how about People Magazine? What will they wear on the last night? And finally, the last one that we have, what would a Christian magazine put on? What would Christian Weekly have? Here we go. We told you so. Okay, this is how media might portray the end. The end is coming. As much as we want to deny it, as much as we want to try to pretend it's not there, the end is on its way. Jesus Christ talked about it. Isaiah was talking about it here. 9 years ago, think back, some of you know it's difficult. What was happening about 9 years ago? What? Millennium was coming. Okay, had another name? Y2K. The Y2K bug was on the way. We were all going to be thrust into utter chaos. Any of you remember that at all? Did you know? Yeah. I'm looking for it here. Did you know that the total cost of preparing for the Y2K bug that they have the estimates on is over $300 billion? Not just the United States, but in all, we spent $300 billion to try to circumvent the Y2K bug. I'm no expert on it. Roughly what it was in order to save space, when they started developing computers and programming, they used two digits to put the year in. The year was always done in two digits. Well, once we got to where we had to go to 2000, we needed four digits, and programs wouldn't be able to do that. They had a couple of glitches. Some computers said it was January 1st, 19100. Okay, so 19100, and that's how it would do it. So they weren't sure. So did all of this preparation for the Y2K bug work or not? Well, there's two camps. Some that say if we hadn't put all this money into it, we would have been thrust into utter chaos. We wouldn't have anything. Others say, well, it didn't matter. There were some cities, some states, some countries that did not put a lot of money into it. And yet, there was not a lot of catastrophe. But do you remember when that was happening? You know, that night you were told, turn your computer off, shut everything down. Otherwise, it's going to go haywire on you and all kinds of other things. Y2K. I remember all the uproar and all the talk that was going about it. Okay? There had other things that were going on. Lots of stuff for Y2K, the problem. If you left your computer on, it was going to malfunction. If you had your money in the bank, you were not going to be able to get any more. It was just going to disappear and cease to exist. People would be taking their money out and storing it with them. Anything that was done on computer, your clock radio would not work anymore. Televisions, nothing was going to work if it had a computer in it. And we spent billions of dollars That was 9 years ago. How many of you have seen your 401s recently? Yeah. Yeah. See, we're in the same thing. There's talk of, you know, this total collapse of our economy, and not just in the United States, but, you know, throughout the world, and everything looks really bleak in the picture there. Do you know the stock market has actually been up the last 5 days?
Yes.
Okay. But it's having hope. You know, your 401s are down, and if you're having to live off of them, that is really bad. But for some people, you know, if you're in it for the long haul, you're looking to the future, you say, well, it's still there now. You know, somewhere down the line, the stock market's going to come back. It is not the end. But the end is on the way. The end will show up sometime, and it won't be just, you know, this little Y2K bug, or it won't be, you know, kind of the crash of the stock market. Colin, go ahead and do the next video for us. Look at this video. Plug it in.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And it was good.
The end is coming. 6,000 years, and look where we're at. Look at some of the things that are there. Some of those videos are disturbing. Do you know, the coming of the end, it was a prayer. The prayer of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. But not only is it a prayer, but it's a promise. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, New Testament. Mark chapter 13. It is a promise, and this is a promise from Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near. Right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells that one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. It was a prayer by Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens open. But it was also a promise by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ promised that he was coming back. You know, if you read through the stories in the Old Testament of what Israel went through and how they would turn their back on God, and then God would allow them to be conquered and to be crushed. He never completely wiped them out. There was always a little remnant. And you'll hear the word a lot in the Old Testament. There was always a remnant. There was always a little bit of hope. You know, if sometimes you have a fire and the fire gets down, if there's one little ember, you can set something there and blow on it and get the fire to come back. One little hope, that's all it takes, is a little bit of hope. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, that's what it's about, hope. Jesus Christ is going to come again. He talked about it. Are we ready? He is going to come back. It might be sooner, it might be later, but he is coming. We have the technology now, and if you read through the book of Revelation, we have the technology to do some of the things that are talked about there. We can cause one-third of the birds in the air to perish. We can cause one-third of the fish in the sea to die. We could, if we wanted to, we could assemble an army of 200 million men to fight in the fields of Armageddon, which is not too far from Iraq. We could do that if we wanted to. We have, I'm going to read it here for you. So we have built scorpions that have fire in their tails and the face of men. Sound familiar? It's prophesied in Revelation. It talks about a scorpion. It sounds like a horse is running, has the face of a man, shoots fire, helicopters. We've done all that. We have done certain things, and if we wanted to, we could cause some of this stuff to take place. How much more God? The end is coming. God, through his prophet, spoke about it 2,000 years ago. And God, through his son, promised it. God promised that it would happen. Let's watch another video. The end is coming. But there's hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. The question, you know, as we get into Advent, it's little less than, where's Aaron? How long? A little less than 4 weeks. We had a big discussion on it. She was right. It's 25 days. 25 days until Christmas. 25 days until the baby Jesus is born. We actually have one up here. In a manger up here and stuff. 25 days through Advent. Okay? Advent season. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? The questions of Advent. Are we ready? Are we awake? Are we prepared? Our hope is that Jesus Christ will come and redeem us. He will find us ready and waiting. It is coming. And this Advent season, searching ourselves and find out, are we ready? Are we looking forward to the coming of the Messiah? There are some things we can be doing. Listen to this. Walking submissively. Worshiping triumphantly. Witnessing urgently. Working fervently. And watching expectantly. God's people, back from Malachi to Matthew, they so desperately wanted the Messiah to show up. They were eager. They were ready. Some things had happened. They so wanted to show up. And yet when he did, many of them missed the boat. Are we watching? Are we waiting? Are we worshiping? Expecting Jesus Christ to come. This Advent season, let's look forward to that. Let's be prepared so that when Jesus Christ does come, we are ready. That is our hope. That is what the first Sunday of Advent is all about. Our hope. Expecting Jesus Christ to come back and looking forward to it and doing everything we can to be ready.